help me, or should I say, Lord, help us? Lord, help us. That is great. Search me, O Lord, because I'm human. Search me, O Lord, because I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, there are things destructive in me that can hinder not only reading, but the preaching of your word. So I ask you, O Lord, to remove it right now. Remove it if it tries to show up while I'm preaching. Because it's all about your goodness, your love for your people. So, Lord, give me that clarity of sight, of speech, and of mind. Because this word needs to be plain. And, O Lord, because you've done it before, I'm going to call on you one more time to give me the strength to preach this one more time. This prayer I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to see my daughter this morning. Amen. That's the best Father's Day present somebody. Lord, help me. I think I can say this morning, Lord, help me is a cry that all of us have made at least one time. In fact, that might be somebody's internal cry this morning. For wherever you're saved or unsaved, the world we live in is a crazy place. A crazy place that will have you call it home. But well, there are not only people out to shut you down, the world will switch up on you in a moment. 6 months ago, none of us had even heard about COVID-19. And even though many of us knew this economy was nothing but smoke and mirrors, how could something we could not even say shut down the economy of the whole wide world? Had people fight for toilet paper, for bottled water, people hoarding food, some of which going to be thrown away, if not already thrown away. See, this pandemic just added to the other problems that many of us face, especially one called racism. Yes, I said it, because the church has been silent for too long. Silent when racism is the headline every time you turn on the news. Silence when my email box and my Facebook page have exploded with views and comments on that same topic. See, I'm not silent because we do not come to church to get a break from the troubles of life. We come to church to get equipped to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus. We come to church to get empowered in order to bring a little bit of heaven right here on earth. For in God's kingdom, there is no room for racism. Oh, almost 73 years that I've lived, I've had to deal with racism. Racism as a little boy, seeing my mother standing up to a bus driver who didn't want my sister and I to sit on the front seat in the bus when he couldn't even stand up in the back. Racism as a little boy looking through a window into the dining room in the Greyhound bus station in Blackstone when I had to stand on one side and on that other side they had tables with white tablecloths. See, no matter how hard I tried, no matter how many good things I did, with all the degrees I've earned, I'm still looked at as suspect by too many. Suspect by a farmer, as a pharmacist. Not only by other people, but by people who even look at me. See, it's bad when your religion has you hating yourself because you don't look like the fake image of Jesus that the world made. Oh, suspect as a leader, suspect as a driver of a car, suspect sometimes in places that are entered that would call the house of Almighty God. Oh, I'm glad some of the world is starting to find out there's this thing called racism without the realization that they benefited from it. That by their silence, They have condoned racism. But the thing that is so messed up for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, a theology that was contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ has been taught. Taught up in the church house, taught up in the seminary, a theology that may be not just a little bit less, but way below men and women of a certain race and set me up for more troubles in life. And I tell you, life got enough troubles without that. And you know, trouble is an equal opportunity discouragement. But trouble mess up anybody's spirit. Is there anyone in here who has to deal with the sickness of self or a loved one? I've experienced it. See, sickness will make you call on God. Is there anyone here who had to deal with a financial crisis in your life? I've been there also, and I call out to God. Have you ever invested in people? I don't mean just give them a few dollars, but you fed them, put food on the table, clothes on the back, love them sometimes more than you love God, and still they let you down. See, situations like that will have you calling on God. And because things never really change, the people of the Bible experience similar things to what we're experiencing right now. And just like us, they call out for God to help. See, I have to say something one more time. As Christians, we have to stop making the people in the Bible so whole. There's only one person in the Bible that passed the test, and his name was Jesus. The people of the Bible were just as messed up as we are. Probably more messed up. It's just that they let God use them. And maybe that's something more of us Christians need to do. We need to let God use us. Our text this morning comes from Psalm. And see, like Dale, I've been hanging out in Psalm a whole lot here recently. And that's so strange because for years, Psalms was my go-to text. You know, when you fill a prescription every day, every week, going to this meeting, sometimes it gets hard to really go and digest it. When I couldn't find them, I just went to the Psalm. But then it seemed like Psalm wasn't saying anything. No matter how much I went to it, I just couldn't come to anything. So I didn't preach Psalm. And see, preachers know what I'm talking about. There are seasons for text, there are seasons for Old Testament and New Testament. God switches up things in life. But it's just that last semester I taught Introduction to the Bible at the seminary. And not only was it an extensive study of the Bible, I had to do a deep dive in the Psalm. And I got to see some things I'd never seen before. Not even when I was studying certain Psalms and was going to get a grade myself. But see, you know, I saw how raw the Psalms were. And see, too many of us don't see that because we focus on the 23rd Psalm. Yes, the Lord is our shepherd. It's just that for too long we focus on safe scripture when Jesus was anything but safe. Well, I think I need to say that one more time. See, you know, see, it's just for so long that we have focused on safe scripture when Jesus was anything but safe. However, as I prepared to teach those students, one day might become pastors, I saw the rawness of the Psalm, how the psalmist told things just the way they were. And if you need help this morning, when you call on God for help, tell God exactly how things are, because the God I serve does not address dressed up situations. See, the first thing the text is teaching us, trouble shows up even if you serve God. And so many of us have been messed up bad at night. Give your life to the Lord and everything's going to be all right. So give your life to the Lord and sometimes you get a bullseye on your back. Because this world is full of evil people who will do anything and everything to keep God's kingdom from coming. The psalmist is very personal. Lord, when you call on God, you've got to acknowledge who God is. See, most of us recognize God as the creator of the universe. But how many Christians refuse to recognize God as Lord over their lives? Well, if that's the way you are, you've got the mind state set of the snake in the creation story. But the snake called God, God. But the snake would never say the Lord of God. So you got to acknowledge who you're calling on. If you want God to listen to you closely, acknowledge God if you want an answer. See, God will listen. God, however, has an option to answer because he won't if your request is not of God. And even though tradition says the Psalm is of David, we don't know who wrote most of the Psalms. And if David was talking about being poor, you know, it must have been poor in spirit. Because David was the king. And before David was a king, he was one of the mercenaries that sold out his skill. And when he didn't have to fight for them, he'd just go and take stuff for himself. See, we don't ever talk about that part of David. How, you know, he had crazy to get out of stuff. Hold on, you got to read about David. And then you can appreciate the good part when you realize all the stuff he had done and what he went through. See, so, you know, I got the problem. I said, David was not like too many of us who were poor and in need in a country that has so much. And there are too many that have to exist on too little. And if that's your problem, or whatever your problem is, acknowledge God and ask God to listen. Because just as the psalmist, like the psalmist, you serve God. Notice what the psalmist said. God, my light, because I'm faithful. You can be faithful, but trouble will show up. Sometimes it seems like the more faithful you are, the more trouble that shows up in them. Not only is the psalmist faithful, the psalmist serves God. See, but being faithful will not exempt you from trouble. Serving God will not exempt you from trouble either. See, we're praying here at New Hope Fellowship about adding deacons and trustees. But just remember, being a deacon or a trustee does not exempt you from trouble. In fact, being a pastor doesn't exempt you either. It probably makes it worse. But in spite of what the psalmist is going through, the psalmist trusts God. Trust God. But why cry all day long if you don't trust God? Trust God if you want to be happy again. If you offer your life to God, that sounds like trust in me, y'all. If you hear the words, Lord, you're good and forgiven, you know something about God, something that has made you trust God. Not just being good and forgiven, but full of faithful love for all of those who cry out for you. It tells me that the psalmist has a history with God. It ain't just something that happened in that moment, but it's something that's been going on for a long time. See, sounds like the psalmist has been like some of us in trouble on a regular basis and has a reason to trust God. And verse 7 confirms my assumption. For the psalmist says, whenever I'm in trouble. How many have been in trouble and can't even count how many times? See, whenever I'm in trouble, be it sacred or secular. See, a whole lot of times we just want to call on God for the problems in the church and leave out what's in the world, or just in the world and leave out what's in the church. But we got to call on God for everything, be it big or small, because remember, it's the little things that end up messing us up in life. I cry out to you because you will answer me. The psalmist is probably like us. We call on God, and sometimes seems like God will never answer. Sometimes we got to do like me. I had to call on God for 2 years over one situation. Some things it seems like I've been praying for God to change throughout my whole adult life. But see, realize God is not that microwave God that you can just put in the microwave and come up. God doesn't operate like will experience God answering your cry because our God is exceptional. In fact, there is nothing like our God. Or when I step outside, especially at night, I see what my exceptional God created. When I read the Bible from cover to cover during the year, I see how our exceptional God moved in the life of the people and how our exceptional God stepped down from heaven so that we might be made right with God. See, something that no other God has ever done. That's why the psalmist could say, my Lord, and all over the shoulders up there, but open. Now, yeah, you see it? An exclamation point. That means the psalmist is feeling something. Oh, see, y'all missed it. He's feeling something. That no one like you among the gods, and let's just be honest, people had their gods then, just like we have our gods now. It's just that back then, they would make our idols. They would bear them and sacrifice to those idols. But today, we hold our gods in our hearts. The things we own, the artists that we worship, the games that all grown men play. And we know that we worship them because of the money we invest in them. Oh. Don't touch on somebody. See, people have no problem wearing the jersey of their favorite player on the football or the basketball court. But when is the last time you've seen somebody walking down the street with a jersey that lifts up God? But when it comes to our God, there is nothing that can compare to our God's word. Why? Are we saying here a few Sundays ago? Our God is awesome. Not only awesome, he's a wonder-working God. Has medical science ever given up on you like it gave up on me? I'm here this morning because our God is a wonder-working God. Well, we don't talk about it anymore. We paint all that fake smile and tell everybody we are okay. But there are few folk who remember when they didn't have two nickels to rub together, when there was no food in the cupboard, holes in your clothes and in your shoes, but God showed up and showed off, put some money in your pocket, put food in the pantry, clothes on your back and shoes on your feet. See, whoever's a part of this worship experience and you know what I'm talking about, you need to give God some praise right now for being a wonder working God. Sometimes we fail to acknowledge too many times God for just being God. It seems to me if we serve an awesome God, we would want God to teach us God's way. For the world wants to teach us things that are anything but God. The world teaches us to lie and then say, even with his own tape, I didn't say that. And you know, it's real bad. You got the chief law enforcement officer issuing a news release saying that somebody resigned. And he didn't resign, you know, but then he turned around and have to fire him. But I mean, you know, this is a man that's leading law enforcement in the country. He put out an out-and-out lie. That's how lies take over the world. Teaches us that it's all about yourself. You get others before they get you. The world teaches it all right to steal. He said we bought. See, that ethics don't matter. And sadly, in God's house, too many times, not only do we fail to teach ethics, we refuse to act ethically. Well, I got in trouble about that one time. I said, that's wrong, right? See? We need to ask God to teach us God's way, so that we can start walking in God's truth this morning. But so many of the narratives we embrace as a nation are nothing but a lie. I wasn't happy when I was a slave, you know. I didn't have any kind of Social Security benefits. I've been had to get out there and work as long as I can. If I decided I want to quit, run away and got caught, I lost a hand or foot or something, you know, that narrative has had to change. All those statues they got up, I'm glad they're coming down. I just wish the government had the nerve to take them down themselves. Walk in truth so we can honor God's name. And that's the problem this morning. Too many Christians are not walking. And I'm sick and tired of hearing when terrible things happen. Our thoughts and our prayers are with you. We've been hearing that a long time. And folks still getting shot up. And it makes me wonder sometimes, you know. Seems like the folk that were doing all the shooting up of a whole lot of folk. And you know, we say, you know, well, if they weren't white, they had a mental disorder. It seemed like the pandemic made them sane. And all of us staying at home, we got crazy, but we should be killing each other at home. But we need to embrace a quote that I heard from Howard Thurman. Listen to me real good. It makes no sense to pray for something if you are unwilling to partner with God to achieve what you're praying for. Oh, all I think we got thoughts of bread. It makes no sense to pray for something if you are unwilling to partner with God to achieve what you're praying for. See, the time comes when you're praying to get up off of your knees. If you want to end racism, you've got to stand. You've got to address it just like our young people who are marching in the street. See, if you want your children to have better opportunities than you had, you've got to address the educational system by finding out what is wrong and exposing it. If you want to address this rigged economic system, you got to stop spending your money with companies that make you no good and spend it with others, even though it might cost you a little bit more, because too much of the stuff we spend our money on, we don't even need it. Pray. But when you finish, don't go your way and do nothing. Pray and work with God. Pray and work with God to make things better. And then give thanks. If you ask me, that's something you can't do enough of. In fact, even though I personally thank each and every one that has given into this ministry since COVID-19 limited the number built in the building, I feel guilty because this week, things of life kept me doing the same. Well, this week I got a whole lot to do, but I'm going to do it again. I ain't going to let nothing stop me. And when it comes to God, we need to be giving God thanks 24/7. You'd be talking to somebody, thank God. You'd be working on something, thank God. I can be riding on that tread, that bike in the gym or working out. I need to thank God. And thank God with all of our heart. Not a halfway thing, not a maybe thing, but when it comes, God moves in our life. God moves all the way. When we make a request to God, God doesn't say maybe. God says yes or no. But God knows what's best for us. See, I said thank you, God, but sometimes saying no. And somebody's going to wake up and shout about 3 a.m. in the morning because at one time God said no. And we need to glorify God's name because God's love to me is awesome. And even though my life situation might not be the best, God has rescued me from the lowest parts of hell. Not just now, but for eternity. See, but when God stepped down from glory and put on human flesh, when God suffered and died for the sins of the whole wide world, thank you, Lord, for rescuing my life from eternal damnation. So turn things around, Lord. Is anybody who feels like me? Things need to be turned around because of things getting better. But too many of us, things are getting worse. For the argument, rise up against me. Rise up against me and got the nerve to use your name. Rise up and try to turn back the clock to the time when I was 3/5 of an individual, when I had no rights. They're turning back the clock and doing it with arrogance. A gang of people want me dead. Before, it was the KKK. Now it's a group of people claiming their Second Amendment right, walking the streets of our towns and cities, storming and taking over Capitol buildings, carrying weapons of war. And because they did not see me made in the image of God, because they've been taught not only that I don't deserve what I have, but the little I had, I took it away from them because they have been taught a gospel that is not of God. They don't even think about you, God, when they do their wrong. So I'm asking you, God, show me a sign. Show me a sign of your goodness so that those that hate me will see it and be put to shame. Last week, I was asked to be a part of the discussion on the national level on racism in farms. Then, next day, they called me and they asked me to lead the discussion right here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Not only did I have to pray about it, that's what I told both times, I got to pray on this thing. But then I went back and I wrote down all of the evil things that people have done to me in a profession that I served so well for so many years just because my skin has been kissed by the sun. I don't want to do either. But those who have gone before me like my father, those who at this time can't speak from the grave, but I got to lead the same association he couldn't join. It makes no sense. But if I tell you to get up and partner with God, I've got to partner with God so that no other black pharmacist will have to go through what I've been through. Show me a sign, Lord, not just for my situation, but the situations of those who are worse off than I am. Show me a sign so that those who hate me will see it. Not only see the sign, but be put to shame for all the ugly and hateful things that they have done. Ugly things that they schemed up. Ugly things they laughed about. Ugly things that gave them a false sense of joy. Lord, I'm waiting for a sign and let them know, oh God, because I partnered with you. It was you, God, who helped me. Helped me bring an end to things that should have never been before. Still going through stuff. But thank you, Lord, for helping me. Thank you, Lord, for comforting me so many times, especially when I was ready to could give up. Is there anybody here this morning who can testify that God is the Savior to help me? Comfort, strengthen, and keep. He's willing and able. He will carry you through. But you know, the first part of that says, yield not to temptation. And you know, we need to stop limiting the first part to temptation, but God helping us in each and everything. We need to ask God to help us as we partner with God to help to make our situation better. Partner with God to make the situation of so many people who have been left out, people who have been kicked to the curb, people who have been vilified and negated, to make a few people feel better about themselves. Lord, help me to do whatever I need to do. And you all need to ask God to help you to do the same thing also. To make this work a little bit better by God helping us bring a little bit of God's right here, right here, right here, right here on earth. Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Amen. Amen. Amen.